Shalom Aleichem, friends. Welcome. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com, on the Land of Israel Network. Another beautiful week here in the heart and soul of the Land of Israel. I'm joined together with my dear brother, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz.
Shalom, Rav Shlomo. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being my partner in holy crime. And what a gift it is to delve into the weekly Torah portion together again. I have to ask you, Ari, and just be honest, because it's just me and you and hopefully thousands and thousands of listeners. Have you been through a lot in life? You know, just me and you, small talk.
Between the two of us. Who was that, Connie Chung and Newt Gingrich's mother? Do you remember that? She's like, between the two of us. Yeah. I think I've been through a lot. It's been a rough ride.
I didn't necessarily mean to bring out the roughness. I wanted to know just if I had to ask you to summarize your journey in this world, would you say you've been through a lot or not?
Yes.
I'll ask you another question, even though you're not under any investigation here. We have to go deep. We have to ask some really strong questions for today's show. Do you know anyone that would answer the question of, have you been through a lot, that would say, no, not so much. It's been a pretty smooth sailing. And
right. There's nobody that I know. I mean, particularly if you're saying it's not necessarily a rough ride you're looking for, but has been through a lot. That's the definition of life.
Correct.
I don't think anyone would say no.
Correct. I don't know anyone today that when you really push that button and ask them, can you share a little bit what you've been through, that they don't have a whole Megillah, a whole a whole scroll filled with what their lives have been about. I think in the Hasidic teachings, specifically the Tanya, says that when you stop and you want to understand how big God is, how large the concept of Hashem is, just look at each person's own Megillah. That each of us, it's our own, we have our own scroll, we have our own tractate, if you will, where we could fill in there what we've been through. And I'm talking about, if you ask kids that are 15 if they've been through a lot, and they'll say yes, not just people in their 70s or 80s. At any given age, a person feels that they've been through so much, that there's so much going on. And I feel that very strongly as well. And I think it's a very humbling feeling knowing that everyone feels like this. So friends, listeners, soul brothers and sisters all over the world, wherever you are, we're jumping right into the last Torah portion of the fourth book of the Torah this coming Shabbos, Parshat Mas'eh, which means journeys. And when the Torah opens up its portion this week, it's basically talking to you and I and saying, we journeyed from here, and then we went here, and then we had to go through that, and then we experienced that, and then we felt so-and-so over there, and then we were shocked when that and so-and-so happened. And we have a listing of 42 different places where Am Yisrael as a nation camped, set up shop, got up the next day, and kept on walking. 42 different spots. And that's how the end of the book of Bamidbar opens up. The end of the last parsha begins like this. Talking to you and I today, saying, you want to find yourself in the Torah? Take a second this Shabbos. Take a second when you learn the portion of the week and go into your life. Reflect. Not for the sense of going into a depressive state of mind, because that could be sometimes the result of when you think about what you've been through in life. But look at everything you've been through. Go through the emotions and ask yourself the following thing. Do you feel like you're still on the journey or not? And when you sense that I'm still on the journey and tomorrow's destination is still not met yet, and that's how you feel every single day, then the Torah comes and reminds us that the destination is some less important than the journey itself. Western psychology, the Western mindset has it that it's all goal-oriented. It's all achievement-oriented.
Outcome, yeah.
Always, always. And our Torah thing is, our Torah concept of achievements, of successes, has very little to do with goals, with the outcome. It has to do with what's happening to you while you're on the journey. But the question is, how do you manage on this journey? I don't know about you, Ari. Actually, I would probably assume that you're also approached on a daily basis by people that are trying to make sense of how do I get by on the journey?
Right. For sure. That's I think the great, particularly Western civilization.
Correct.
I think
correct.
Is, falls prey to that malady.
Correct. How do you go through the journey? I recognize that life is crazy and I have a lot to do. I have a lot I want to do, but this, because of this concept of achievements are only once I finish something, how do I enjoy the ride? Or not just enjoy the ride, how do I make the ride meaningful? How do I make it something that I'm at peace with the imperfection of today? How do I make peace with it? So there's a phenomenal movie that I want all our listeners, if you can, to check up online. And it's called You Never Know. Le'olam Eincha Yodea, You Never Know.
Is that available online?
Yeah. It's on YouTube. It was a film made by a director. I believe his name is Boaz Shachak. And it's not exactly a documentary, but it's a movie about Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach. And there's very little footage of Reb Shlomo in it. It's mainly focused on some of his students and some of the places where he spent time in. But there's one scene in that movie, which I'm sorry, I'm going to ruin it for everyone right now, but hopefully it'll get you to watch the rest of it. An incredible, incredible, incredible 2 minutes of footage where it's footage from the summer of 1993 or 94, I'm not sure when, if which summer it was, in a learning center in Jerusalem called Yakar, which we all know of our dear soul teacher who passed away about 8 years ago, Rabbi David Zeller, 8-9 years ago passed away, where he was one of the main teachers there, and Rabbi Mickey Rosen, Alav HaShalom of blessed memory. Reb Shlomo would teach there in the summers. And the footage from the film that we're speaking about, these 2 minutes capture a moment in time that I try as often as I can to share what took place during that minute, 2 minutes. There's a teacher, Reb Mimi Fagelson, and she was one of the top students of Reb Shlomo, and she asks him a question that has to do with our parsha, a question that has to do with you and I today, a question that has to do with our children's journeys as well. And the question is simply, she asked Reb Shlomo, you are the master of walking the streets of the world. You know how to walk the streets of the world. And I don't remember the exact phrasing of it, but she asked him, how does one learn how to walk the streets of the world like you? How do you do it? Now, what a question. What a deep, deep question.
Can I just ask you?
Please.
Why did she ask him that? What was it about him that so clearly exuded that he walks the streets, that he's intrinsically enjoying the journey?
Probably because of the following statement that he once gave while he was doing a gathering with in the early 80s in Santa Monica. Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach was doing a gathering with two very unfamiliar singers named Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell. The three of them were together at an event, and someone had asked Reb Shlomo, what's your greatest dream in the world? And he said, well, my greatest dream in the world is to be able to walk the streets of the world and hug and greet every single person I meet. To that, Dylan said, Rabbi, that's my biggest nightmare. That's what he said.
Because Dylan wrote a song. Oh, that's not Dylan. That's someone. Who's the guy that wrote Carolina on My Mind?
Oh, the holy Reb James.
James Taylor. Yeah. You're walking man. The walking man walks.
That's Reb James. Right. No. Bobby,
guy,
brother.
Different
no. Yeah, different Rebbe.
I'm just enjoying this image. I didn't know that Dylan and Reb Shlomo and Joni Mitchell had a concert together.
There's a recording.
Sounds like
it.
The beginning of a great joke.
The beginning of real MS, actually, because he answered and he said, yeah, that's my dream. He walked the streets of the world meeting Hashem, meeting God. Many people, many religious people are scared of the street because the street is just a world of temptation or a world of distractions. But somehow he brought godliness to the streets. So back to this footage I was speaking about, that's why she was asking that question, because at the end of the day, the world is beautiful, and we want to see the world as a beautiful place. But in order to see the world as a beautiful place, we have to believe that our journeys are beautiful. With all the journeys we're going through, like the Torah reminds us this Shabbos, I took you from here and you went there and you felt this and you felt that, but Hashem was there the whole time, and you brought Hashem even more to the picture while you were walking the streets of the world. Now, Reb Shlomo answered, in the most beautiful, beautiful way. But before we get to his answer, let's just go back to the Shema that each of us say three times a day. We say, Veshinantam levanecha vedibarta bam. You must teach these words of love to your banecha, to your children, vedibarta bam, which means, and you should speak in them, to them. Now the word bam, which means in them, is the numerical value. Bam is 42. Bam, bet and mem. Bet is 2, mem is 40. What's the 42 that we're supposed to speak to? There are 42 places that are mentioned in our parsha. V'dibarta bam. You have to speak to Am Yisrael, to your children, everything that any Jew ever went through, all the journeys he went through.
First of all, I never noticed that, because it should be v'dibarta lahem.
Lahem or bahem.
Bahem.
Right.
But bam is like inside of them, as if the journey of the whole nation
is in them.
Is inside is them, in them. And to wake that up.
But the next four words in the Shema were Reb Shlomo's answer. Reb Shlomo said to her, he said, you're so right. I want to tell you, he said, there are two Torahs, there are two teachings in life a person has to learn. The next four words in the Shema are what? V'dibarta bam, b'shiftecha b'veitecha uvelechtecha v'aderech. There is a Torah, Reb Shlomo said, of b'shiftecha b'veitecha. That's the teaching of how to live in your own home, how to learn in a Beis Midrash, how to become a Jew inside the realm of holiness where everything is sheltered and safe and protected. That's the Torah of B'shiftecha B'veitecha. And he said, for that, I had the greatest teachers who taught me how to live the Torah of B'shiftecha B'veitecha, which is true. Reb Shlomo learned by the greatest giants of the last century, both in the Hasidic and non-Hasidic worlds. Rebbe such as Rabbi Shlomo Hyman of Torah Avodas, Rabbi Aaron Kotler of Lakewood, and of course the 6th and 7th Lubavitcher Rebbes that he was very close to, as well as many other Hasidic Rebbes.
A lot of people, you know, that are in the know, some of them want to discount Reb Shlomo because he was so out of the box, but they don't recognize the fact that he learned under the greats of the generation.
Oh, he was the definition of box. He was so in the box. He learned, but he drank from the fountains of the greatest. Absolutely. So he said, for b'shiftecha b'veitecha, I had the greatest. And of course, I shouldn't forget his father, who can't even begin to describe the greatness and the influence that his father, Rabbi Naftali Karbach, had on him. So he said, for that I had the greatest teachers that taught me how to live that Torah. But then there's the Torah of Ubelechtecha Baderech, when you're walking on your way. And he said that I had to learn on my own. That's a Torah that no one could teach me. No one could teach me. And there's something so heartbreaking about that answer, because we want someone to teach us how to walk the streets of the world. But on a certain level, that's where Hashem truly does become your best friend, your greatest teacher, and your biggest Rebbe. At a certain level, that forces man to go out of his comfort zone and to truly grab hold of that hand that's being sent down from above and saying, let's walk the streets of the world together. So, v'dibarta bam, speak into your children the 42 journeys. You got to give over to your child that the only way to learn the Torah of b'shiftecha b'veitecha is find yourself a Rebbe, find yourself a Torah institution, find yourself that group of friends behind closed doors, underneath the beautiful warmth that the world of Torah has to offer. That, no one has an excuse to say, no one can teach me. But the Torah of u'belechtecha b'derech, eilem mas'ei b'nei Yisrael, these are the journeys of Am Yisrael, no one can teach you that. That's something that...
it's individually tailored.
Oh, yes. And it's individually threatening as well. However, that's man's celebration of his free will. To execute a man's free will in this world is making that personally tailored concept one which makes me feel so lucky, so close, so much one with what God has in store with me. And in a nutshell, that's what's going on in the beginning of this Torah portion, Mas'ei. 42 journeys, v'dibarta bam. This is what the Torah is still telling us. But to make God our best friend is the only way you could learn how to walk the streets of the world. And remember, this is all happening right before Moshe Rabbeinu dies. He's telling them, look, I could keep on teaching you the Torah. I could be here for another million years and teach you every single day what God said on Mount Sinai. But for you to then know how to walk the streets of the world with everything that I taught you, even I, Moshe Rabbeinu, can't give that over to you. That's your personal gift. Don't abuse it. Don't ignore it. Instead, and we let it torment us, that need of, you know, oh my God, I don't have anyone to tell me what to do. That's when things become most real. It's true. It's most threatening. But that's when it becomes my journey. That's when it becomes really what I'm doing in this world. So when we go back to the original question, the initial question we asked in today's session, we said, have you been through a lot? The more people I meet, the more I realize this world is so complex. People go through so much heart. There's so much heartache. Forget about the horrific crimes of the world and the terror. Not to, God forbid, forget about it, but putting that aside for a second, people go through so much on their own trying to understand, did God make a mistake, God forbid, when he put me in this world to try to figure out something? Eile ma'aseh b'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys. V'dibarta bam. You're still part of a story. You're still part of b'shiftecha b'veisecha, and you're part of u'belechtecha b'derech. And I can only hope and pray and bless all of us while we're at it, while we're going through this journey together, that it's time right now to hold hands just a little tighter. You know, Reb Shlomo Carlebach once said that what brought us back to Jerusalem after 2,000 years wasn't what we saw, that we saw destruction. What brought us back to Jerusalem after 2,000 years is what we heard while we were being exiled. And what we heard was, please remember, I know this looks horrible, but my love can only grow for you. My love can only go through you. And while we're on the journey, that's what we really need to remember. We have to really take time every single day to stop, reflect, go into our own journeys in life and remember, can I remember what I heard, not necessarily what I saw? Because our eyes see destruction. You know, when I was a kid, I remember that I was never, ever, ever exposed to seeing death on TV or on, well, there wasn't really social media back then, but no one ever, you didn't see death or live blood on TV, God forbid. It was something that was completely censored. Today, I think on a daily basis, and I can't even imagine, God forbid, if my beautiful daughters will ever be exposed to this when they get a little bit older and they have access to more social media. We see actual death every single day. We see people getting killed.
Even scroll through your social media without images of real dead, murdered people popping up. You don't have to press on anything. It's just right there.
Right there.
You turn on the computer, the most horrific things.
But it wasn't always like that, correct? I'm imagining this.
It was not like this, right? No, in the movies you saw fake stuff.
Right.
It was always like fake. But now there's been a shift, I would say, over the last 10 years. Where everybody, it's for real. They don't censor it from the media anymore.
Why do you think that's so?
I think that there was a certain amount of collusion within the general media with CNN. And there were big media networks and they all played by certain rules. But now the media is so proliferated over the internet that everybody's their own media. And there's this, you know, competition. And there's so many places that just don't censor it because it gets numbers.
So does that mean that has to be part of my journey? Being so exposed to such horrific things because they're happening and they're out there anyway?
Well, on a personal level, I'm conflicted about it. There are times that I will actually, there's an ISIS execution. I've actually watched a few of them and it's really, really bad. Okay. And I feel like I do it because I carry around a gun. I'm in reserves and there's war. And I feel like sometimes I just need to have a real encounter with the level of evil that is out there that I'm, because living in Yerushalayim surrounded by holy Jews, sometimes it's just hard to be in touch with the equal and exact opposite of evil that's out there.
I hear you.
And we need to know what we're facing. But I think for just the average person, it's just destructive to the soul. I think, I don't really know. I don't have a clear answer and a clear understanding of that. Do you?
I think that for the average person today, he has to realize that his journeys are, they're predestined. This is going to get a little bit philosophical, which I never want to go into. As much as they're predestined, harishut netuna, it's you have the ability to truly guide your destiny. And you have the ability, you have the power, and not just the power, you have God's blessing to use your choice as to what you want poured on to your masa'ot, into your journeys. I think that because we wake up in the morning and we say, well, all these things are happening anyway, you know, it must mean that I gotta get with the times. It takes so much today to say, my journey, I don't want it to be touched by this blemish of death. And I'll do whatever I can in my power to not have that part of what's going on in my journey.
Well, I think you as a Kohen perhaps are more connected with what that's about, because you're not, according to Jewish law, you're not allowed to encounter death, to come close to death.
Correct.
I mean, has that shaped your identity and your perspective on this?
It's made it much harder. It's made it much harder because I have this, again, it's just me and you in here, right? There's no one else this
no
year.
One else.
Right, there's no one else in the room, right? I could feel all the ears right now that are hopefully listening to us that are in the room. The room is really crowded.
And by the way, some of those ears write in letters, sometimes questions, sometimes challenges, sometimes encouragement. We love them.
We love them.
So encourage you to do that. Yeah.
I should say that it's really, I mean, I think it's been happening on a daily basis. A number of incredibly inspiring emails that have been coming from these sessions. Friends, we're all on this journey together. Like, let's just, you know, Reb Shlomo once said, we're all lonely. Let's just decide to be lonely together. We're not going to, you know, stop being lonely, but we could choose to be lonely together. As a Kohen, like Ari had mentioned, as a priest, my journey is a little bit different, only because I have certain laws which I have to abide to regarding contamination of being contaminated by being close to death. It's made it much harder for me to do my avoda b'simcha, you know, like I have, and with ahava. It's been very hard to, on a certain level, distance myself from feeling as much as people are able to feel being close to death. Like at a cemetery, I can't come close to the graves. I can't at a funeral. I have to stay outside a room while the eulogies are being delivered. It does change my journey, very much so. And it's played a role in my thing. But I think that that's also a level of belechtecha baderech. I have to figure that out on my own. But there's something, there's one level deeper than everything we mentioned that I wanted to share. And that's that the first words that God ever told a Jew were lech lecha. God told Avraham, walk. The last book of Bamidbar, the last portion of Bamidbar of the fourth book of the Torah, in a sense is the end of the Torah in present tense, because the last book, Dvarim, is basically, they call it a Mishneh Torah. It's repeating everything that happened. There's not a lot that's actually happening. However, the first four books are constantly stories that are taking place. So a lot of the Rebbes look at the four first books of the Torah and say, what's the connection between the beginning and the end? Well, the first thing that God told the Jews, like we said, Lech Lecha. The last parsha over here is called Mas'eh, journeys. Because what's a Jew all about in this world? Halacha, which means keep on walking.
The journey, the path.
Keep on walking. Lech Lecha, go for it, Mas'eh. These are the journeys. In this world, there's no such thing as standing still. There's no such thing. So we often get confused and think that now I have to stop walking because I have to internalize everything that happened to me. A Jew internalizes what happens to him while he's walking in this world. Halacha, which means the Jewish code of law, but it really means to walk in this world. One of the Rashi Tevot, how do you say Rashi Tevot in English? Acronyms?
Very good.
Oh, wow. That was a nice one.
And you're like an Israeli.
And I'm Israeli.
Since you're a kid.
Yeah, I've been here since
I'm
nine.
I pulled out an acronym. Have known that.
Pulled out an acronym. We'll keep Jeremy in, where is he, Texas?
Yes, he's in an RV somewhere.
We'll keep him in the Midwest. An acronym, halacha, is Hariu LaHashem Kol Haaretz. Rabbi Nachman teaches that. Halacha stands for may all the whole land, may the whole earth rejoice to, like, Hariu, which means like to cheer for Hashem. When the Jewish people are in a state of walking and they keep on walking towards their heart and towards their destination, but they're not focused on just the destination, they're focused on falling in love with the journey, you know what happens to the rest of the world? Everyone starts cheering because it aligns the whole world. It aligns everyone else with where they're supposed to be. You and I not giving up and continuing to walk benefits the whole world. So I want to tell you, Ari, and I want to tell myself, and I want to tell everyone listening, your journey matters. There's a lot of these slogans today. These lives matter. Those lives matter. It's your journey matters. Your journey matters. This world needs a deep, deep realignment. Your journey, your walking matters. It really does.
I think it's even an issue of just prioritizing. You know, we have a destination and we have a journey, and the Western culture is to focus on the destination, however you have to get there. But I think in Jewish thought, it's okay for us to try to think up a destination to the best of our ability, to know that probably it's going to end up being different. But the number one priority is the journey. It's like the story, I think it's from Rabbi Abraham Twersky, about two doctors. One doctor, they each have to do a life-saving surgery the next day. Have you heard this story?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so they both have a life-saving surgery. One is up all night. He's davening. He's thinking. He's strategizing. What's he going to do? He does the surgery, and God forbid the person dies. The other doctor doesn't really care, takes a shot of whiskey, says, oh, if I do this extra procedure, I'll get some more money from the HMO or whatever. He does the surgery and the person lives. In the eyes of Hashem, the doctor that gave it his all saved the person's life. And the doctor that didn't care is a negligent killer, regardless of the outcomes of this world. The outcomes are totally and completely out of our hands. We don't understand them. When we leave this world, maybe we'll have a perspective that we will understand it. Mm. But it's like the Midrash of Gan Eden. Right, it says that in the Garden of Eden, the bark of the tree and the fruit of the tree had the same taste of the fruit.
Right.
But it was only after the sin, where we got this confusion of outcome orientation, and it's about the outcomes, that it's only the fruit that tastes.
Correct.
But really, in the perfect world, and that's how we actually can return to messianic consciousness. I think Mashiach comes when every single person in the world does their greatest to really see God in everything and return to messianic consciousness, and then Mashiach follows. But it's really just a global shift in consciousness, and that's what you focused on in this show, is a huge part of that shift. It's about the journey. And you know, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, he has this one quote that's part of my daily mantra.
I'd love to hear this.
It says, a religious man is a person who holds God and man in one thought at one time, at all times, who suffers harm done to others, whose greatest passion is compassion, whose greatest strength is love and defiance of despair. But for me, it's the favorite one. A religious man is a person who holds God and man in one thought at one time. And that's what Rav Shlomo was saying. When he walks down the street, every person that he meets is another facet, another manifestation of God, another way for him to encounter and connect with God more.
I remember when I was in Australia, I met a rabbi there, that a very sweet guy, who said a very, he said a statement to me that shocked me. He said that, sometimes when a student asks him a question, so he has to first, you know, become a little bit spiritual and then answer. And I didn't understand what that meant. What's not spiritual? You know what I mean? Like, okay, we have a non-spiritual world that surrounds us with temptations and all that, but if you're a rabbi, or if you're any type of spiritual figure, what does that mean that you have to first become a little bit spiritual? It's what Heschel said. The religious, can you say that again?
A religious man is a person who holds God and man in one thought at one time.
There's never a moment where there's never a void moment. There's no such thing.
Well, if in defense of this rabbi, if I could, there are times, moments of my life, sometimes it's a moment that lasts a little bit longer than a moment, where I feel like this is a truth through which I see the world. And those moments give me strength and motivation for all everything else. But often I have this duality. I live in a duality where when I say, what is my real message? I have to dig really, really deep and get a little spiritual. It's just part of the unfortunate human condition that we all fall to. So I think this rabbi was just being authentic about his own, you know, mortality, spiritual.
Maybe I should clarify. That's true about every person, that we all live in a duality of the struggle. I think what he was saying to me was that he believes that you should consciously choose to sometimes be in the mundane and then consciously choose to be in the spiritual.
To shift modes in the
That can't be. But without
recognizing that it's correct. Not true and not ideal, correct. And our goal is to imbue everything with spirituality.
Correct. Correct. I think there is a shift. I think that, it's hard to feel this these days, because you could say, yeah, there's definitely a shift. This world is going to God knows what. But But there's a shift because the more that darkness is being revealed in the world, the more that the light becomes more authentic. It's just the way it is. The more that people's, you know, shady colors are now not so shady because their true essence is being revealed, and their motives and their reasons and their meaning is being revealed in the world in a negative way. So as much as that's depressing, it does bring more clarity into the world. This week, this is a week of Eilei Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. Who would I choose to have on my journey? I'd rather have people that are willing to admit that they struggle with the duality of being feeling like they're both sometimes this, sometimes that, but that truly yearn to never, ever, ever ignore the fact that they're filled with godliness and that they're swimming with godliness every single second, as opposed to those that say, sometimes the button's on and sometimes it's off. This is the journey we're on these days. The true friendships today are being formed by what can we cry over together as opposed to what do we just enjoy together. At least I know that's how it is here with my chevra here in Efrat and with you and I think that as much as we would love watching Rocky IV every single day together, it would be a tremendous enjoyment, right? However, we would much rather be able to feel close enough to cry over the fact that God is still homeless in this world until the Beis HaMikdash is here. That's the journey that I know that you and I, Baruch Hashem, would like to continue being on. And I think that voice, I think we have to make people feel more comfortable that there is a place for everyone's tears in that journey. Don't ignore those tears. Don't listen to that concept that I don't even know where that voice is coming from that's saying no. To be a leader, to be someone that walks the streets of the world, you must be someone that's courageous, that knows how to swallow up his tears and show that you're strong and mighty, because if not, your enemies will come and conquer you. I just don't believe in that. That's not my journey. That's not the journey of the collective soul of Am Yisrael. And since this show is called The Soul of Israel, I think the neshama of Am Yisrael knows hazorim bedima birina. They know how to cry and they know how to laugh. Almost in the same instance, that's what kind of this one of the most intriguing things about the soul of Am Yisrael. We know how to do both simultaneously. That's the Masa'ot of Bnei Yisrael. This is the 42. This is the Vidibarta Bam. This is combines both the Beshiftecha Beveisecha, the learning of the pouring of the Torah, crying over every page that you learn, as well as crying over every person that you meet on the streets of the world. So, let's make sure that we hold hands a little bit tighter on this journey because it's getting a little freaky. But hold hands tighter, close your eyes stronger as well, and hopefully keep your ears wide open to hear Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim.
For from Zion the Torah will come forth, and the word of God from Jerusalem, and from Efrat.
And from Efrat.
And I have to tell you that this show that I'm doing with you and the few minutes that we have beforehand has become one of the great highlights of my week.
For mine too.
And I'm so grateful for it.
Mine too.
And to all of you out there listening, a lot of you write in and say, what can we do? It just hit me that one of the things that really gets the show out there more is if you enjoy this program and you get something from it, just rate it. Go to iTunes and rate the program. Give it however many stars you feel is right, because that gets it out there more and more. Write to shlomo@thelandofisrael.com. You could always write to me at ari@thelandofisrael.com. And stay strong. Thank you, everybody. Shalom from Efrat.
Shalom, everyone.
My name is Tommy Waller. I'm the founder and president of HaYovel. More than 12 years ago, I made my first trip to the land of Israel. What I saw and heard changed my life forever. I stood with Nir Levi, an Orthodox Jewish man, in his vineyard in Samaria on the Mountain of Blessing. There he opened his Bible and read the prophecy of Jeremiah that said, "You shall yet plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria." This fall, during the grape harvest, we have the opportunity to join Israel as it celebrates the 50th year of the liberation of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Come join us as we witness the unveiling of prophecy in the Jubilee year. Come be a part of the biblical narrative. Go to HaYovel.com. That's HAYOVEL.com to find out more. And I hope to see you there.
This is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. My maternal grandparents Grandpa Morris and Grandma Lily, came to the United States from Russia over 100 years ago. They belonged to the Mizrahi movement way before there was even a state of Israel. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.